I worked in this sermon because some of my high school classmates are here from 53 years ago. Who believes? The Jesuit poet Jared Manley Hopkins wrote in his resurrection prayer, "Let him Easter in us." And in that, Hopkins captures, I think, the sense of renewal that all Christians experience when they enter fully into this Easter season. A renewal that is reflected in the blossoming of springtime around us, like a day like today. For spring is emblematic of Easter, emblematic of new life in and around us. In the resurrection, my friends, we are confronted with the irreducible core of our belief, namely that Jesus died and rose from the dead. This is what the apostles proclaimed. This is what animated the early Christian communities. This is what remains the core of our Christian faith. This message fills today's readings. As we listen to these post-resurrection stories over these next 5 weeks, I think it's important to understand that in Scripture, the resurrection was not a spectacular event compelling people to belief. Rather, it was an event for the friends of Jesus, those who knew him and walked with him and listened to him. These few women and men were invited to recognize their risen Lord and to be dedicated witnesses to his resurrection. So what can we learn from these Easter stories? What applies to us this April morning? With 3 quick points and then a little time spent on Thomas. 1, God meets us on our own terms, where we are, where we sit today. He met Mary Magdalene in her fear. Today he met Thomas in his doubts. He will meet Peter and the fishermen, alienated and depressed. Next week he'll walk with the men to Emmaus, who are distressed and disappointed. Just so, the Lord meets each one of us in our anxiety or our fear, our doubt or our joy. The French author François Mauriac reminds us that since the resurrection, we are apt to encounter the risen Christ when and where we least expect to find him. Every one of us have concerns. Every one of us have worries as we reflect on life and the life of those we love. In any given week, our hearts are filled with competing emotions, are they not? Drawn from our personal experiences, our own circumstances, exams, jobs, relationships, health issues, life after graduation, the economy. But it is in these events, in these heartbreaks and these heart lifts, that the risen Christ will meet you where you are, as we are, in our unique circumstance, in our unique need. Again, as Mauriac reminds us, the risen Christ may be just around the corner. The Easter stories, secondly, also tell us something about faith. And faith is not simply emotion or intellectual propositions or codes of conduct. To be sure, faith does involve the intellect, it does involve emotion, and it does involve behavior. But Easter faith has a fourth and very important characteristic, and that it be a personal relationship, a personal experience of Jesus as Lord of history, as the one whose words can be believed and whose deeds can be imitated. Jesus, the risen one, your personal Savior. That's at the heart of our Easter faith. Every one of us stand in front of the empty tomb and have to decide what to do next, to believe or not to believe. Easter is reality. Easter faith is to be lived out in our routine words and our routine actions of daily life. Easter is the event that gives true meaning to what it means to be a woman or man of faith. In that third point, Easter faith is never lived in isolation. It's never experienced alone. While faith is indeed very personal, it is most fully lived out with others in a community like this. Again, all these post-Easter stories illustrate that all of those who encountered the Lord returned to their community to share that experience. And just so, we too must come together in prayer and worship and service to fully experience the power of the resurrection. And hence the significance of today, which we very shortly will witness the sacramental confirmation of three of our members. And this brings us now to Thomas. We share, you and I, several things with Thomas. First of all, he was a doubter, as you and I am a doubter. We have our doubts, do we not, about a lot of things, spiritual and otherwise. It is easy for us to relate to Thomas because, like him, we do have doubts. We've wondered if God really exists, have you not? You've doubted the physical resurrection of the Lord, have you not, as Thomas did? But no matter how pious you are, we have all entertained doubts at some point on our journey of faith. Jesus understood human nature pretty well, and he knew that signs and wonders only work for those who already believe and have faith. As it has been said, for those who believe, no proof is necessary. For those who do not believe, no proof is possible. And this is played out numerous times in Jesus' ministry. Matthew tells us that even at the ascension, there were disciples who still doubted. And across the ages, most of the great spiritual models were plagued with doubt and uncertainty, from Augustine to St. Ignatius to Mother Teresa. And indeed, I suspect our newest saints, John the 23rd and Paul the 2nd, as well as Peter Favre, all had their doubts. The point being, you are in very good company. Doubt is something to be grateful for. Unlike answers that presume the static, unchanging nature of God in the spiritual life, doubt stretches you. Doubt stretches us beyond ourself to the guidance of a God whose face is not always found in a book and cannot always be explained by a proof. Doubt leaves us open to truth. The path to a deeper and a richer spiritual life is only through the darkness of doubt, something we all indeed have experienced. And finally, I view Thomas more than a doubter. He also was a type of each one of us who were not there for that first ecstatic moment of the resurrection. Because Thomas was absent, he did not see Jesus, he did not hear him speak, he did not receive his gift of peace. And without the gift of the Spirit, Thomas didn't understand. His faith was shaken. He had nothing to hold on to except his doubt. And we, like Thomas, we too arrive after the event, do we not? And we are confronted with the testimony of witnesses who left accounts of this radically transforming event. In today's gospel, Thomas demanded physical evidence of the resurrection. And yet when Jesus gets the opportunity to examine Jesus' wounds, he makes his act of faith without any reference to touching the Lord. For Thomas, faith comes from hearing the word of the risen one, addressing him personally. And for each of us who came after, faith comes through hearing the risen one speak to us through the apostles, and through the church. That same Jesus comes to us, breathing the power of the Spirit into us, enabling us to overcome our doubts and our fears so as to witness to the gospel. And like Thomas, we can experience the risen Christ. And as we who know and believe Jesus risen are to offer that same experience to others, my friends, resurrection happens around you all the time. Whenever love transforms life, or forgiveness mediates mercy, fear, and hatred, resurrection happens. So be bold. Be bold, Easter disciples. Seeing is not believing. The challenge for each of us this Easter season is to believe what we did not see. To believe that God in the person of Jesus made all things new. So with the eyes of Easter faith, we too can proclaim like those first followers that we have truly seen the Lord. And again, as the poet Hopkins notes, let him Easter in us be a day spring to the dimness of us and be our crimson-crested dawn.